your host, Ben Korn.
For those of you that picked up Carlos Rodon, he's probably not going to start again after his start yesterday.
And Chris Welter.
No, that's terrible advice. Don't.
You're not going with the Beckett theory?
Don't follow that method. Let's stay with sabermetric stats, okay. All right?
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Who's Hector Gomez? You keep bringing up names and nobody knows.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. We are recording this podcast on Sunday, May 17th. I am Ben Korn. I am not in studio. But you know who is? Chris Welter's in studio.
That's right. I'm taking the reins here. I've got the board. I've got a lot of buttons in front of me. I'm actually kind of scared.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared for this podcast. So if this never makes it on the interwebs, I can understand why.
Right. There's a good chance this will be the underground Fantasy Baseball Weekly podcast that nobody ever hears because I don't know what I'm doing.
It would be pretty funny if people could just find this podcast. Like, the only way you can get it is by handing off a USB or something like that to your friends. Did you ever get the Fantasy Baseball Weekly episode 12? That shit's straight real. It's hot, man. But anywho, this podcast, we've got a lot to discuss. It's been a big week for our man Chris Bryant. He's becoming actually a superstar, huh? Carlos Rodon, maybe he's got a spot in the rotation. I still don't think so, but he is pitching pretty well. Maybe Kenley Jansen will make it in. Bartolo Colon, Anthony DeSclafani. Is he good? I don't even know. I held him for a while. I'm not sure if he's good, though. So a lot of information that we're going to bring to you. We're going to talk about streaming pitchers, maybe even talk about streaming batters. I don't know if Chris is ready for that one. But it's all coming up on this episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Let's get to the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
Carlos Rodon has bounced back and forth, but has finally landed in the starting rotation for the Chicago White Sox. Is Chris Bryant already a superstar? Having had no home runs in his first 75 at-bats, he exploded for 4 home runs in the past 8 days. Troy Tulowitzki releases a statement he is considering asking for a trade, but isn't that just basically asking for a trade? Michael Franco was recalled to the Phillies to be their starting third baseman. Kenley Jansen returned from the DL and should immediately be an elite closer. Lastly, Justin Morneau hits the DL with another concussion. With so many concussions in his past, this will likely be more than a 7-day DL stint.
Very, very good, Chris. I think you forgot about one of my most important news stories, which is the Colorado Rockies are falling apart. I mean, you talked about Justin Morneau there and how he's actually on the DL, but Corey Dickerson left the game on the 15th.
Yes!
Troy Tulowitzki, which is probably even more important, left the game on the 15th and didn't play on the 16th. Do you have any update on what's going on with these Colorado Rocky players?
Yeah, there's a lot of injuries happening in Colorado. The big dick got a little bent, I guess.
I hate it when it gets bent.
Tulo is interesting. There's not a lot of information there. This is a little bit speculation, but if somebody is going to be traded, they might pull him out of the lineup so he doesn't get hurt. So it'll be interesting. We'll definitely be keeping our ears out for the news on Tulo coming up in the next couple days. I think Justin Morneau is probably the biggest one there because he's had a lot of concussions in his career, and I don't think this is going to be a short DL stint. I know last time he got a concussion, he was out for 2 or 3 months and missed the remainder of the season. You know, so there's a good chance that he misses a couple months even with this concussion.
And Doug Fister, I don't think we talked about him, but he's been placed on the DL as of the 15th. What does this mean for that rotation?
Luckily, they have Tanner Roark ready to roll. I would guess he steps right in. I mean, he was a solid number 2, number 3 fantasy starting pitcher last year. And this is kind of why they kept him around, why everyone was complaining, oh, you have 6 good starting pitchers. Yeah, well, starting pitchers get hurt. So the Nationals are prepared for this. They've got Tanner Roark to step in.
And other big news, Hunter Pence coming back finally. The Giants have actually been playing pretty good without him. But Hunter Pence come back in the lineup. I think you got to make sure you put him in your starting lineup, get him off the DL.
Yeah, it's interesting. They have been playing all right without him, but man, their offense has been struggling. They've really been doing it with smoke and mirrors. So they probably will pop right now with Hunter Pence. He's just a great all around player. You know, he gives you the little statistics in every category. And I would even look for the other Giants to sort of start popping. Now, Buster Posey has a little lineup protection. Angel Pagan's got some more guys to drive him in. So I think that whole lineup could see a boost.
We're going to be talking a little bit more later on in the podcast about pitching and who you should be keeping on your team, who you should be letting go. I know I drafted Carlos Rodon, you know, during my fantasy draft. I let him go. Didn't think that the White Sox would be putting him into the starting rotation. Now all of a sudden, you know, there's indications that Carlos Rodon has a spot in the starting rotation. What's our thoughts on this kid? Should we be holding on to him and expecting him to continue to perform like he has? Should we let him go just because he's a big name? I don't know what to do with this guy.
My thoughts are you must be pissed, huh? You did, like you said, drafted him.
I'm pretty angry, Chris, okay?
Yeah, you've really gotten hosed by the White Sox there. They've really kind of fooled around. I think literally we have about 5 minutes of talking about Carlos Rodon last episode about how, oh, he's not as good because he's in the bullpen now, and he immediately gets moved to the rotation once our episode drops. He actually struggled in his first start officially in the rotation. He went 4 innings, gave up 5 runs, 6 walks, which is a little scary. So I don't know. I'm not too excited about Rodon right now. His control is just not what I thought it was going to be.
But he does have that strikeout capability, which is beautiful for fantasy teams.
Yeah, so I would put him more, and we'll get into a segment later about this, I would put Rodon more in the streaming category than necessarily the keep him category.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better. I mean, I was looking, you know, when I drafted him, you made fun of me for, you know, 3 straight weeks, and then finally I let him go because I just couldn't take it anymore, and then now all of a sudden, you know, he's the hot pitcher. I've been struggling all week with this one.
That's right. Well, Ben, haven't you realized you win too much, so I'm just here to sabotage your team, bro. And it worked. No more Rodon.
That makes sense. What's going on with this Mikhail Franco? Is this somebody I need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, he's, in my opinion, more hype than actual proof in the pudding here. He's about a top 50 MLB.com prospect. He's been on the prospect radar for years now. Had a little cup of coffee in the majors last season with the Phillies. Unfortunately, the Phillies lineup is so terrible that even if he hits a little bit, he's going to get no counting stats, runs, and RBIs. So I would just more keep an eye on Mikhail Franco, and he's not an immediate ad at the moment.
The Player Profile on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
This week's Player Profile is Bartolo Colon. Pushing 300 pounds, his favorite foods are buffalo wings and sticky buns. They call him Big Fat. On his 9th MLB team in 18 years, he will turn 42 next week. Happy birthday, bud. If you love fun, you want Bartolo on your team. Some potential team names with Big Fat on your roster are Roly Poly Fun, Colonoscopy, and Gut Check.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Welcome back to Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Ben Korn hanging out in the beautiful city of Missoula, Montana, trying to keep things fresh in the baseball world. Chris Welter holding down the fort, working the buttons. Hopefully this makes it on the air. But anywho, I digress. Let's get into the next segment. And this segment is one that Chris and I have been talking about doing for a long time. And this is the stream it or keep it for your pitchers. And I say that Chris and I are big fans of streaming pitchers, making sure that you get the Ks, you get the wins, the quality starts. When we're deciding if we want to stream somebody or keep somebody, this is on a 12-team league with the idea of maybe keeping 7, maybe 8 pitchers. So that kind of gives you some perspective on where we're making these decisions to stream someone, and streaming meaning grab them, let them have the 1 start or the 2 start, and then let them go. They don't stay on your team very long. Keeping, meaning you're going to hang on to this guy for a little while. That didn't make sense, Chris?
Yeah, that sounds good, Ben. That's what we're aiming at here. We didn't get to talk about it in last segment. How's Montana? I've heard it's pretty boring there.
Yeah, it's definitely really boring. You know, my sister is graduating, so I decided to come out here and hang. The nice part about it is that it's like 60 degrees outside.
Ooh.
So it's really refreshing. And, you know, they actually have seasons up here instead of what you have in Boston.
Yeah, so it's not 95 degrees already in the middle of May?
Correct. That's what's nice about I can actually be out here and sit in the sun and not be sweating my pants off.
All right, well, you tried to convince me, but I still think Montana is very boring. And even if that scares away all of our Montana listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do have at least three or four. So for those people that are Montana listeners, thank you for listening. Montana is the greatest place on the planet.
Well, all right. Let's dive into this Stream 'em or Keep 'em segment, my man.
So I have a couple guys on this list that I've been struggling with. I'd like to start with a guy by the name of Ruby De La Rosa, pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I picked him up planning on streaming him, but then I've kind of kept him for a little while because I feel like this dude just has way too many abilities to strike people out, and I prioritize strikeout very high on my team. What's your thoughts on this guy, Ruby?
Yeah, it's funny. You actually turned me on to him. He wasn't quite on my radar. It's a little scary pitching in the Arizona ballpark. That is a home run haven. And Ruby has a
four. And Ruby does give up a lot of home runs, which is why I'm iffy on him at times.
Well, it's interesting. So he does give up a lot of home runs, and that's why his ERA is at a 4.5 right now. But like you said, he's got a great K rate. He's got an 8.6 K per nine. And what's interesting is he actually has a rather good ground ball percentage. It's at 45%. Now, that's what you want in a home run ballpark. You want a guy that's going to throw a lot of ground balls. And with that type of ground ball rate, you could argue he's getting a little unlucky with his home run to fly ball rate. His home run to fly ball is at 15.6. League average is at 10.5. So that is why his xFIP ERA is actually at 3.5, not the 4.5 that you see. So I got to say, go ahead and keep him, Ben.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, keep him on the roster. You know, if he blows up, you can drop him. But for right now, he's getting a little unlucky, so I'd hold on to him.
And then we talk a lot about the Red Sox pitchers, whether it be Wade Miley or Rick Porcello. Clay Buchholz is the leader of that rotation. You know, he's, in theory, the ace, yet I don't think I can trust him to be on my team. What's the thoughts with Clay?
Yeah, I feel bad if there's any listeners that hate us talking about the Red Sox. I know we said last week we weren't going to bring them up anymore, but then Clay Buchholz went and had an 8-inning pitch, 3-hit, no walk performance where he gave up one earned run and 11 Ks. So I just felt like we had to bring him up again. I had to dive a little bit deeper to figure out what's going on with this guy. And what I'm figuring out is he, just like Ruby, Clay is getting much more unlucky. And that's not very good English, but I'm going to keep rolling. BABIP for Clay is actually at 362, which is very high. Again, BABIP average is about 300. And Clay is striking out at 10.6 K per nine. So I would say just on that K rate alone, you're going to want to hold on to him. And because of that high BABIP and high K rate, his FIP and XFIP are right around 3. For a guy whose ERA is actually something closer to 4.9, Clay is getting extremely unlucky. I would hold on to him. I'd keep him.
Interesting. I still, you know, I love guys that strike people out. I didn't realize that Clay was striking out 10.6 for 9. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a little sneaky, but and again, in the AL East, it can be scary. There's a lot of good hitters there, but right now he looks great.
I know you talked about Bartolo Colon as part of the player profile. The guy's having a heck of a season, but this dude is old. I just don't see myself hanging on to this guy.
Yeah, well, I'm going the other direction here, Ben. Nothing in the numbers.
Oh, yeah?
There's nothing in the numbers that stands out to me. His BABIP is a little low. His walk rate's a little low. His FIP and XFIP are right around 3.6, 3.5. But ultimately, I think you should keep him because he's a fun guy to root for. Let's be real here. He's big fat. Keep him for fun.
I do like big and fat. I mean, we don't keep people for fun though, Chris. That seems a little bit crazy.
What? No, we're here playing fantasy baseball for fun. And what's funner than a guy that shakes his big fat belly in the bullpen or in the dugout to show off? That's good times.
I mean, the only person that's more fun than that's got to be Shane Green. I mean, he seems like the most boring pitcher of all time.
Yeah, he's got a pretty boring name too. Shane Green. He's really been up and down this season. He had some great starts. He had some terrible starts. The thing that stands out to me is his K rate is only at 5.4%. That's really low. That's not going to really help your team. And actually, I found some scary statistic. His fastball is down a mile and a half from last season. So that's worrisome. So ultimately, I'm deciding. I think you should just be streaming him. Don't keep him. There's just no upside with Shane Green.
And I think update to even that. I think Shane Green is getting looked at. I don't think he's fully healthy at this point. Nothing's official as of yet, but I think he's getting an MRI to check himself out. So
BK, you're bringing breaking news from Montana.
News.
Montana's the hotbed of news. That's what I've heard.
Did you hear that when I was talking to you about Montana? News breaking hotspot. So watch out for Shane Green for that reason as well. I don't know if you know this, Chris, but I'm a big fan of the Cincinnati Reds fans.
I know. It's one of the 10 teams you root for, of course.
Yeah, I mean, but they're number one for sure. You know, Todd Frazier, the man with the big bat.
Yeah. Todd Frazier's a beast this year, but yeah, we're on pitchers here, Ben. You're getting don't go too off on the Cincinnati right. Red. Reds tangent here.
I get confused.
Keep it together, Ben.
Okay, rookie Anthony DeSclafani. I had him. I dropped him. Should I have dropped him?
Yeah, you made the right move there, Ben. He's definitely a stream him guy, and maybe not even that. His BABIP is a very low 238, and his walk rate is almost at four walks per nine. That's really high. So he may have a great ERA right now, but his FIP and XFIP are 392 and 462. So this is at best a stream him.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know you don't have much statistics on the Cleveland Indians pitching, but I would make a case that you want to keep all this Cleveland Indians pitching. I know I'm constantly yelling about how, I hate them and I don't want to have them anymore, but tell you what, they know how to strike some people out. So if you're just looking for strikeouts in general, those Cleveland Indians pitchers are getting some K for nine ratios that are pretty high.
Yeah, I can't argue with either, Ben. None of them have performed particularly well, although Corey Kluber had, as we predicted last episode, he bounced back in a phenomenal way with 18 Ks and 8 innings last week. But in general, yeah, all those Indians have such high upside that I just wouldn't want to drop them at this point in the season. Like you said, they're all striking guys out, and we're just waiting to see who's going to be the next Corey Kluber breakout.
Well, and the question that we haven't really brought up in this segment is that when you decide to stream somebody, you're leaving yourself open for somebody else to pick them up and then hang on them because they have more faith. And, when you look at somebody on the Cleveland Indians staff, you don't want to... They had the opportunity to strike out 18 guys. Like, they're consistently able to get 12 if they're in there for nine innings. So, you want to hang on to those Indians. You're going to have to fight through some of the ERA issues and stuff like that, but they're definitely worthwhile to have for strikeouts, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's a good point. Guys like Trevor Bauer, Carlos Carrasco, if they hit the waiver wire, somebody will know that name and want to pick them up. So you're going to want to hold on to those guys.
One last guy, Aaron Harang. I am scared of him based on, being on the Phillies. But he always starts off really well, but then kind of tails off towards the end of the season. I'm staying away from this guy.
You know what, Ben? You win every once in a while because you're kind of a smart guy. I hate to admit it. Aaron Harang,
yeah.
Look at his numbers right now. 2.03 ERA, an under one whip. So you're looking there, you're saying, wow, this guy's amazing. I need him on my team. Let's dive a little deeper, though. His home run to fly ball rate is 2.9%. Now, again, league average is 10.5, so that's way too low. That's not going to stick around, particularly because he's a fly ball pitcher. His ground ball percentage is at 32%, So there is no reason that he should be giving up a lot more home runs. So that kind of leaves his xFIP at 4.23, which is a good over two runs higher than his actual ERA. So yeah, Aaron Harang, I would call him a stream him right now while he's hot, but don't be afraid to drop that guy for somebody with more upside.
We have a brand new segment called Ben's Hobbies.
Ben, you told me you had a new hobby that you have discovered out in Montana. Why don't you tell the listeners what you're into these days?
Semen.
Are you sure? That sounds a little bit weird. Why are you into that?
I made a little bit of cash off that.
Ben, be careful out there. That can be pretty stupid. That's how you get diseases.
Wow. That was pretty stupid, and I still made money.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, we are back to talk streaming fielders.
Ben, what do we... Hold on a second. You told me to hit record, but I don't even see this segment on the rundown. What are we doing? What is this?
All right, so I don't know if you're kind of well-known for your streaming pitching, and you taught me all about streaming pitching, but you know what? I'm going to teach you something today, Chris Welter.
Okay, well-known is a real...
Stream fielders.
We're going to stream fielders, okay. I mean, well-known is a real strong term, but I appreciate the compliments. So we're talking streaming fielders. What the hell is that? What are you talking about? We're talking fielding stats here, like errors and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not. The idea behind this, and it's been struggling to get any traction from real fantasy people, but I'm trying to make something happen here, so stick with me. I'm looking at players that you can pick up that are not well known on the radar. They don't even get 100% playing time on their team. But if you're needing somebody who's hot and maybe play a couple positions, these are your guys that you can pick up for a week or two and be able to plug them into your lineup until say a guy that's injured or something comes back.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so
these are kind of your multi-versatile guys that don't get a lot of acclaim, but when they are in the lineup, actually do pretty well.
I gotcha. Yeah, that was kind of my thoughts on Chris Colabello last week. Like, he's not a long-term play, but while he's hot, you got to use him. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, and Chris Colabello is definitely one of my favorite streaming fielders right now, and I'm actually really aggravated in our league because you have Chris Colabello, and I wanted him.
Yeah, I gave everyone in our league a good 2 days to listen to the podcast and pick him up, but nobody did, so I did. I picked him up. He's been great, but all right. But
I still think that's against the rules, Chris. I don't think you can pick up anybody that you talk about on this podcast.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Ben. If you pick up the guys I talk about, then I'm definitely allowed to pick them up, right? You keep stealing all my players,
no,
so don't tell me
so.
I can't pick them up.
I think I have the ability to pick up whoever I want. I think that, I'm the producer of this podcast. I can do what I want.
Well, who's the producer now, Ben? Me. I got all the reins here.
All right.
This is going off the rails.
Any of these people?
Let's get back to the streaming fielders. We're going off the rails here.
So a guy that has always been a really good streaming fielder is a guy named Brock Holt, Boston Red Sox.
Gotcha.
I like Brock. He does play pretty much every position on the infield, so he's good to pick up. And Brock... I think he's convinced the Red Sox that they need to get him in the lineup because he does well. I like Brock as well because a lot of times he's hitting at the front of the lineup. He hits first or second, so he's, on the daily fantasy element of things, he's very viable. And then on the weekly, a good plug-and-play guy.
Yeah, I'm actually with you there, Ben. We're talking position eligibility here. He is first base, second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield. That's pretty much everything but catcher and pitcher. So he's a great guy to have on your bench.
Yeah, I'm waiting for catcher. I could really use him at catcher, I think.
I know. We'll try and petition John Farrell to get him in a catcher for 5 games and get that eligibility. But, yeah, he's hitting .292 on the season. He gives you some doubles, some runs. I kind of like that.
Another guy, Gerardo Parra on the Brewers. He doesn't have the position eligibility per se that somebody like Brock Holt has, but he's just hot right now. So this is a guy that you can pick up if, say your infielder is struggling, plug him in. I think he was 14 of 25 last week. He had 2 home runs. He's in the top 10 on Yahoo's list of top players. but yet nobody's going to have him because he just doesn't get regular playing time. But if you have kind of like an opening where a guy is struggling, similar to like what we talked about with, you know, your struggling aces or your struggling top picks, this is a guy you can kind of plug and play. Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, I don't like that on the long-term play, but yeah, he's only 4% owned in Yahoo League, so he's available everywhere. And at least he's outfield eligible, so that'll fill three or four spots for you. And as you said, he is red hot right now.
Another guy, Aaron Hill, is not getting regular playing time because he's stuck in this Nick Ahmed, Chris Owings.
Damn it, Ben! I told you on the producer this week you cannot bring up Nick Ahmed. I don't care if he's from Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, so Nick Ahmed is really good.
No,
player.
No, no, no. Mass. We're talking Aaron Hill.
Should pick him up immediately. No. He's batting 150.
All right, Aaron Hill. What's going on with Aaron Hill? Let's stay here. No Nick Ahmed.
Yeah, but just a quick side note on Nick Ahmed.
I will cut you off.
I will end this podcast
right now.
He got like three or four RBIs last week.
I will end this podcast right now.
but Aaron Hill, I mean, this was a guy that won me a title a couple years ago, really had a breakout season about 3 years ago for the Diamondbacks. Since then, some of the young talent that's coming up, whether it be Osmani Tomas or Chris Owings, Nick Ahmed, all these guys are kind of stealing some playing time from him, so he's not getting regular minutes. But when you do see that he's in there, he's usually batting, you know, sixth, which is pretty solid. And with that lineup of Trumbo, Goldschmidt, Tomas, I mean, they generate some runs out there in Arizona, especially, you know, in the BAB, at least what used to be the BAB. You know, it's an easy ballpark to score runs in, so Aaron Hill's a viable option to kind of keep on your bench and watch to see where he makes an appearance in the roster.
Yeah, interesting. Regular minutes. You've definitely been playing fantasy baseball or basketball a little bit too much, but Aaron Hill is red hot.
That's true.
He's 5-for-14. He's got a home run last week, 4 RBIs, and he is second base and third base eligible. Those are two hard positions to fill, so he's another great bench player.
And my last guy that I wanted to bring up as part of this is Delino DeShields. This is a guy, I believe he's the son of Delino DeShields that played back in the 90s. Not 100% sure on that one, but he's putting up some real nice numbers statistically. His only issue is that he's batting deep in the order. So he's not going to be somebody that you want to play that often, but he is putting up the numbers right now, and if he gets moved up in the batting order, could really be a viable fantasy option.
Yeah, that Texas lineup is not very deep, so if he continues hitting this way, he might be. He's hitting .421 last week, 9 stolen bases on the season, a lot of doubles. So, yeah, he looks pretty good. And he is second base and outfield eligible, which is a nice combo as well.
See? You know, I think we can convince some of these fantasy people that it's not all about streaming pitchers. It's also about streaming fielders.
I'm with you. I want to make a idea or throw an idea your way. It might be better to call it streaming batters than streaming fielders, because fielders is a little confusing.
Yeah, no, I think that you have to be different, Chris, and the only way you can really truly be different is by going with streaming fielders.
Well, Ben, if there's one thing I will never argue on, it is that you are different. That is for sure.
If you've got 30 seconds, then we've got a homer.
We welcome back Mike from Denver. Mike, great to have you back. Looks like Corey Dickerson is struggling these last 2 weeks. What's up with that big dick? He's really keeping it in his pants. We talked a little bit in this podcast about Troy Tulowitzki, and he's injured. Maybe he's being traded. What's your thoughts? That goddamn shortstop of ours wants to be traded, and I think that's not a very good team spirit here, and I think it's contagious through the whole Rockies organization. This pitching staff is really struggling. Is this the pitching staff that you were hoping at the beginning of the year? Where is the pitching? Kyle Kendrick is the worst. I knew I hated Philadelphia. They can take their cheesecake and shove it. Gordon Lyles has a broken hand and is still our best pitcher. I miss 2007. Give me Ubaldo Jimenez and Jeff Francis any day. To the title, what was I thinking? I have a better chance of winning my Senior League World Series.
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
And now the moment that we've all been waiting for as we've worked our way through the last 25 minutes of this podcast, it is the moment where we track Chris and Ben. You know, last week, Chris, I think you you did all right. You know, you went a little bit crazy. I like to tell you to pick like one batter, one pitcher, but you're like, nah, I'm Chris Walter. I pick three batters and two pitchers.
Ben, I'm here for the people, well, bro. I'm here for the people.
I mean, that's what it seems like, but then you just complain when we take your guys that you talk about.
Yeah, well, stop taking them then, Ben. I don't care if everyone else takes them. It's you that I don't want to take them.
So, so Chris Walter last week had three guys that he picked on the batting end. Chris Colabello, who I've been someone who's been pro Chris Colabello as well. You know, we talked last week about, you know, Chris will give you a list of guys and you got to figure out which ones suck and which ones don't suck. Usually if Chris and I both see eye to eye on a guy, then he doesn't suck. And that's what we saw last week with Chris Colabello. Not huge RBI numbers. He had three RBIs, had a double, only one run, but he did hit well, and he's continued to hit well since he got brought up. 393 was his average last week. So I'll give you a little golf clap maybe. That was a good pick there, Chris.
Yeah, he seemed to get a little unlucky just with the counting stats. He actually had, what is it, four or five multi-hit games during the week. So he just had no one on base to drive in.
Yeah, and you would think that he would have better counting stats as they were playing in Toronto, I think, for at least like three or four of those games last week. I mean, he had a good opportunity to be successful. And, you know, he got the hits, just didn't get the stats.
All right, well, grade me, Ben.
Yeah,
what's my grade?
The rest of your guys.
What's my grade?
I got to give you a grade.
Yeah, that's how this segment works.
All right, I'll give you a B plus.
Oh, I'll take it. All right, that's better than my GPA.
I mean, I think that you know, he didn't hit any home runs, which is what you almost expect a little bit from Colabello. He's got that power, but he did have a nice little average and stuff like that. So I think I'll give him a B plus. Now the rest of your guys aren't going to be as good. Kenny Svargas. 273, three doubles, no RBIs, no runs. Not bad. I put him at like a C-. And Chris Davis, I would call him K-Riss Davis, only batted .154. He did hit a home run, but nothing to write home about from K-Riss out there in the Brewers. So you got a C- from Kenny Svargas, and Chris Davis with his .154 average would probably get a D.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I feel a little unlucky, but I'll take it there, Teach.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, you can always play those guys again. Maybe they'll be better next time around, you know?
Now, my pitching, though.
Now, your pitcher did all right. You know, I think that you think that Brett Anderson had an amazing night. You know, he had some strikeouts, which I'll give him credit for.
He had eight strikeouts.
You know, plead your case.
Now, look, this guy, okay, I'll read off the stat line myself here. He went 5 1/3 innings, two earned runs, only six total base runners allowed, and 8 Ks in that 5 innings. Unfortunately, the rain delay killed his night. He was on his way to a solid quality start. He left the game as the winning pitcher, and then the bullpen blew it. So it's just unluck here. But he basically pitched like a stud and got unlucky.
Yeah, but you got to consider that he didn't get a quality start. He didn't get a win.
How am I supposed to know the rain delay is coming?
These are important stats, Chris.
I can't predict the rain delay. I'm not a goddamn weatherman.
Well, you know, that's part of this, being a voice of the people, is that, you know, you need to be able to predict those things. You can't just give people a starting pitcher that doesn't even get a chance to prove himself, you know?
I guess. I'll just keep trying here. What's my grade, Ben?
All right, so I'll give you a B. For Brett Anderson, I think he's a solid. He had a solid night. 8 Ks are still going to help your fantasy team. You just got to consider that, you know, he did this on a week when Corey Kluber struck out 18. Pineda struck out 15. So, you know, Ks were easy to find out there last week.
Okay, well, now you're just down talking my dude. He did great, Brett Anderson, and I like him again for next week, actually.
So then, let's hear who you've got for your Tracking Chris.
We are tracking Chris Walter's fantasy baseball picks, not his sleeping habits.
first one is Chris Owings. He's a second base shortstop eligible guy in Arizona. Much better than lame-ass Nick Ahmed. Chris Owings is hot right now. He batted .554 in the last 7 days. Another guy I'm really liking, particularly because, well, unfortunately, Justin Morneau went out onto the DL with a concussion, but that opened up the door for Willin Rosario, who is catcher eligible, and he is a pure power hitter in Colorado. He's already hit a home run since coming back. He looks great, so I would go get Willin Rosario for your catcher spot. One last hitter. We got Carlos Beltran has finally started to figure it out. He really was terrible for the first month of the season, but in the last 7 days, he's batting .409 with 2 home runs. So I like Carlos Beltran, and he might be a guy you can keep all year if he keeps it up. I know Ben hates to go long here, but I'm helping you people. Don't listen to Ben. I got 5 names here for you. We got Brett Anderson again. When he's healthy, he's very, very good. So I would just ride Brett Anderson until he gets hurt. And then my last guy is actually, you know what? I got to give you a little props here, Ben. Carlos Frias has been very, very good, and he's got 2 starts this week. So I would go get Carlos Frias. He's widely available.
You know, I don't like to say this, but I think that's a solid 5 people. Cool. I think that anybody that listens to this podcast can feel confident that all 5 of those guys are going to have a big week.
Yeah, I got to say, I feel pretty good about it, too. Better than most weeks. I think I might go 5 for 5 this week. We'll see.
Yeah, I think Willin Rosario is an amazing pick. You talk about Morneau going down. Willin has, you know, last year, an amazing batting stat. I mean, a home run threat every time. So, since he's going to get an everyday bat with Morneau going down, great pick. Carlos Beltran, you're right. He's starting to actually do something for the Yankees, so... I almost feel bad about my picks now, looking at what you got.
Well, let's move on to the much less anticipated segment, tracking Ben. So, let's see. You had 2 picks last week. The first one I chose to make fun of tremendously when you picked him, Carlos Perez. And you know what happened, Ben? He was terrible. 2 for 11 with 2 RBIs. Yeah, he did bad. 2 for 11, which means he barely even played. With only 2 RBIs, that gets a solid D. Maybe not a D-minus, because he at least had 2 ribbies, but that is a solid D.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of sad, because Chris Iannetta actually, I think it was the following Monday after I told you to pick up Carlos Perez, Iannetta got in the game and hit like a dribbler to the pitcher that somehow won the game for the Angels. It just didn't work out very well for me last week. Just don't trust Ben. You know, tracking Ben is never as good as tracking Chris. We all know this.
Well, okay, let's not get too down on yourself here, because you did pick Mike Fulton-Nevitz, who actually had a very solid start there. He went 6 2/3. He only gave up 2 runs, and he got the quality start, 7 Ks over that start, so he had a nice strikeout total. He didn't get the win, but ultimately it was a strong performance. So I'm going to give you a good B minus on Mike Fulton-Evitz. The win would have helped you.
You know, I like you talk about streaming pitchers, and I picked up old Fulty a couple weeks back. You know, he's a rook, getting a chance to play for the Braves, who are kind of streaking right now, and I've kept this guy. I like him. I mean, he tends to give up about 3 runs, tends to go about 6 innings, so he's not lighting the world on fire in terms of high-end potential, but he's consistent. You know, 3 runs, 7 Ks, 6 innings, usually gets the quality start and sometimes gets a win. So if you can pick him up in your leagues, I'd recommend it.
And he seems to be a strikeout machine, which is a statistic that will always help you in fantasy. So let's see, Ben.
That's what I've kind of gone for, is find those strikeout guys that are a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, because whether they win or lose, whether they blow up or they look like an ace, if they get 8 Ks, it's always going to be 8 Ks. So let's see. Let's move on. Who do you got for this upcoming week, Ben Korn?
So I don't know if you remember the intro to this this podcast, but a guy by the name of Hector Gomez. And you may be wondering, am I thinking of Carlos Gomez? And no, I'm not. I'm actually thinking about Hector Gomez, another guy. Honestly, I would probably pick the Carlos Beltrans, the Willin Rosarios, ahead of Hector Gomez. You know, I'm feeling down on myself after seeing who Chris picked up.
But okay.
Hector Gomez has been really good for me on the daily leagues. Tends to bat number 2 or 3 in the order. He's one of those guys that I would add as a streaming fielder. I'm sorry about the wind, everybody. All of a sudden, Montana just got a little bit crazy. But Hector Gomez is the guy on the Brewers. Bats high in the lineup. If he's in the game, he's going to do well for you. But he's definitely somebody that probably plays 60% of the time.
Okay, well, yeah, he's on the Brewers. And
he's playing for your boy Scooter Jeanette.
Yeah, Hector Gomez is second base eligible. Do you got a pitcher for us there, Ben?
Hector Santiago. This is a guy from the Angels. He's done really well. Similar to a guy like Fulton Evans, consistent 2-3 earned runs, but he gets over 9 K rate. So he'll get 6 innings pitched in about 8 Ks. So if you're needing some Ks this week, Hector Santiago is your guy.
Yeah, I would watch out for that one. Hector Santiago has been very lucky so far this year, but he is hot, so he could help you out for one start.
Whatever, dude. He's not lucky. He's talented.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find out this week in Tracking Ben.
And that's this week's Tracking Ben.
All right.
I tell you what, I mean, you really made me feel kind of down on myself with that Tracking Ben segment and how good your Tracking Chris was this week. But you know what? I'm in Montana, damn it. I'm having some fun.
Well, yeah, maybe you weren't quite as focused this week. And again, I'll repeat, ultimately I'm here to sabotage your teams, Ben. So I'm just trying to get you to feel down about yourself. It's working.
Well, I think we should get out of here. Do you have any two-star pitchers?
Yeah, we got a couple this week. It's a little tough. There were not many two-star pitchers that were widely available, but I tried to find some for you. Your boy Mike Foltynewicz terrible pronunciation, but he has two starts. He is home against Tampa Bay and home against Milwaukee. Those are two not good hitting lineups, so I like those matchups. Jimmy Nelson has been a strikeout machine so far this year. He's at Detroit, which is a little scary, and then he is home versus Atlanta. But again, you're streaming that for the K's. Also, then we got a couple of Ben Korn guys here. Ruby De La Rosa is at Miami and then versus Chicago Cubs. I like those matchups. And Carlos Frias on the LA Dodgers. If you need some wins, start Frias at San Francisco and then versus San Diego.
You know, I think that when we analyze the tracking, I know my pitchers pretty well. So definitely De La Rosa and Frias will treat you well this week.
All right. Well, how did I do, Ben?
I just want to throw out there, we got some hot daily players. I mean, it's the usual people. Chris Bryant's killing it. I think Chris Bryant had 3 home runs last week.
Yeah.
Edwin Encarnacion had 3 home runs last week. Bryce Harper continues to just put on a show as he had another 3 home runs last week. Miguel Cabrera, another 3 home runs last week. So he's finally starting to get his swing back. So if you're playing the daily leagues, those are kind of the guys you want to spend up on. Pitchers, Danny Salazar had 11 Ks in 7 innings. Jake Arrieta crossed the 10K mark. Chris Sale had 11 Ks. Chris Heston had 10 Ks in a complete game. So he's kind of been running under the radar. You can probably get him for a little bit cheaper. So just some guys to put in your mind, as well as Corey Kluber, who got 18 Ks and finally got his first win.
Well, there you go. That's some good daily fantasy advice. So, Ben, how is my producing going? Can I get a grade on the production of this episode?
We'll see how it comes out. I'm just talking. I'm out here in Montana. I don't even know if this is being recorded. I'll be real honest with you.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it's being recorded either, but I do know I'm researching fart noises to throw in during your segments.
Oh, nice. Well, I will make sure that I don't listen to this episode because I'm a little scared.
All right,
but thank you, Chris, for taking over as producer-director for the episode. If it sucks, we know why.
Yeah, I look forward to getting you back next week, Ben. This is a tough job here. I give you credit. Oh, I guess we lost Ben Korn. That means it's the end of the episode, and he is done. Well, guys, I guess I'll close it out. That is Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Thank you for shipping up to Beantown. I'm a star!